pray?
Oh, I thought Ryan gave you something to read.
No, I was just asking you permission.
No.
Okay, so we're starting now. You're live. Put your mic on. Mic, your mic.
Microphone check. 1, 2, 1, 2.
And you're live.
All right. Elohim Tov, everyone.
Kol Hazman.
Kol Hazman. Kol Hazman. All right, here we go. We are here and ready to get into Bible study. Thankful for all my beautiful friends that I have here and abroad. And for all the encouraging emails and e-notes, emails and notes that I got. So I'm really thankful. Thank you. And Greg is going to pray us in, and then we're going to get started. So go ahead, Greg.
I'm going to read this to you. It's Matthew's chapter 22, verses 36 through 40.
Mm-hmm.
It said, "Teacher, what is the greatest commandment of the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all of your heart and with all of your soul and with all of your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment, and the second is it. Love your neighbor as yourself. The law and the prophets hung on these two commandments." Father God, I want to thank you for this day. This is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, I thank you for your power and your Holy Spirit for us to humble ourselves. We thank you for what you've done in our lives. We thank you for where we're at, Lord Jesus. But most of all, Lord, I believe that you want us to understand to love you with all of our heart. Lord, help us to love you with all our heart. Lord, that just don't mean listen and don't do, but that means listen. Lord, you said my sheep knows your voice. Lord, so I pray and ask that you touch every heart of man, Lord Jesus, that they will hear your voice. Lord Jesus, and we just thank you for the word that's going forth and that you just have a moment with us that we can just say law with you. And these things that we ask of you, in Jesus' name we pray. Thank God.
Thank God.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's get to rolling with this message tonight. I'm going to make a correction once again. For everybody that didn't hear me on Sunday or who I did not give a correction to this on. Okay, there's a guy that put out a video that says Nissan doesn't start till like May 16th. Because the barley harvest hasn't happened yet, or the barley harvest is not ripe, okay? Now, I'm going to do something real fast, because I want you guys to understand this, and we're going to be talking about being a Berean tonight, and not just be someone, because it gets to the point like, you know, you give your kids good instructions, before they leave home. And then by the time they get home, they've heard from so many different opinions that your opinion don't matter anymore.
Yeah.
So it's like, I know you guys are listening to a lot of opinions, and I'm very thankful for everyone who sends me the message to make sure that it's correct. Because as a pastor, that's what I want to do. But I want you to know and understand there are some very solid things in the Bible that we don't have to guess about. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, it says, "And the Lord said, let there be light in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs, for seasons, and for days, and for years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light on the earth, and it was so." Okay, so God said he put the lights in the sky for a purpose. And those lights are to divide the day from the night. and to let them and let them be a sign for season, for days, and for years. Okay, so the stars, the moon, the sun are all giving you a calendar so that the calendar can tell you God's calendar and you can stay on God's calendar. Okay. God put Israel on a moon calendar. The moon calendar is the most solid calendar you can have because it goes in rotations about 29.5 days, and it goes from a slither of a moon, which is a new moon, and it goes all the way to a full moon, then it dissipates, and then it disappears, and then the slither comes again, and you know what? When the slither comes again, it's a new moon. So God put that system in the sky so you can always know when the month begins and when the month ends, okay? This is the Hebrew calendar. Now, there's nowhere that's written in the book of Genesis that also, if the barley harvest is ripe, then the new year can start, but it can't start till the barley harvest is ripe. That's not in Genesis, okay? So that means somebody made up a video to tell you that the Nisan hasn't started because the barley harvest hasn't started, okay? And if I didn't know any better, it was a long, I'm just looking at this video, but how did they even watch this whole thing? It's just a long video about nothing, okay? Because May 16th, Nisan doesn't start May 16th. Nisan already started. I walked out of my backyard, I looked up in the sky, and I said, can't deny that, that's the new moon. So I knew the moon, I mean, the moon had told me that the new month had started, okay? So the guy that did this, I sent everybody a simple understanding so they'll know that the barley harvest does not dictate when a new year starts. And this is it. If Moses and the Hebrews were in the wilderness for 40 years, they weren't farming. There was no farming system going on, right? How did they know when a new year started and when a new month started? The moon, because when they saw the moon, they knew it was a new year, right? So they weren't waiting for a barley harvest because there was no barley harvest. How did Noah know a new year had started while he's on the boat? He looked out, he saw the moon, okay? When the Jewish people get to a sabbatical year, when we get to this whole Smita thing, when they get to a sabbatical year, they are not allowed to harvest for that whole year. Now, if the sabbatical year comes right before the Jubilee year, then they can't harvest on, they can't plant or harvest in that sabbatical year, nor in the Jubilee year. So that's 2 years that goes by. How do they know what year it was if there's no barley harvest? Because it has nothing to do with the calendar, okay? So that video, just say, throw it in the trash. It doesn't mean anything. It's what Juke was telling us. There are people out there who put out videos to confuse Christians, yes. Okay? The whole purpose of it is to confuse you so that you don't know and understand what's going on. Here we are, not too far from Passover, and you got a video telling people that don't worry about the Passover, it's not until next month. So it's craziness. So then someone sent me another video with a guy, he's drawing stuff, and he says, oh, and Jesus Christ was crucified on the 30 on his 30th when he was 30 years old, he got crucified. Could that be true?
Dude.
He started his ministry when he was 30. So what is he started it and it's like, it's like what he lasted one day? What is it? I want to know. Okay, so the guy drawing all this stuff, you gotta be looking at stuff. See, when I'm watching stuff, I'm a Berean. I'm dissecting what they're saying. And if it's out of line with scripture, I just throw the whole thing in the trash. I do what the Jews do. If there's a scripture or a letter or anything missing, burn it. So then someone said to me, oh, you know, today I found out that Jesus was born on Passover. Was Jesus born on Passover? No. How do you know? Because Elizabeth got pregnant first, and John the Baptist was born on Passover, and Mary got pregnant 6 months later. So how did she was pregnant 6 months later, and him and John the Baptist did birth on the same time. It's impossible. But he has a whole book, and this is the Jonathan Kahn thing they sent me. He has a whole book that says what? That Jesus was born on Passover. No, he was not. It would be biblically impossible for Jesus to be born on Passover because his mother didn't even get pregnant till 6 months after Elizabeth, and Elizabeth's son was born on Passover. Okay? Amen. So, I think I'm going to be okay. If you want to know about how to count a Hebrew year, I have this thing from Dr. John D. Kesser, who did this whole study, did a debate, and everybody shut up about the barley thing as soon as he just brought up one point. How did they keep the year during the 40 years since they had no barley harvest? It's the moon, okay? So, and then you can look in Luke chapter 3, verse 23, and it'll tell you that Jesus began his ministry when he was 30, so he was not crucified when he was 30. You can't adjust the Bible to your chart.
Amen.
You got to adjust your chart to the Bible, okay? All right, you guys, but thank you for sending it to me. I would much rather you send these things to me than sit there being confused about it, because like I said, truth always burns up lies. And you can't lie when truth is available and the Bible is available to us. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Okay. We're going to get started. Yes. Now, I'm just asking the Lord, should I start here? And yes. Okay. Here it is. Okay. I'm going to do this and then we'll get started. Okay. Now, from December 4th, which was a solar eclipse, right? To April 2nd, just happened to be 120 days, right? So April 2nd was Nisan 1st. What comes after Nisan 1st? What big holiday comes after Nisan 1st? The 14th of Nisan, which is Passover, right? So listen to this. The lunar eclipse happened on November 19th, okay, 2021. And so 14 days later, there was a solar eclipse. You understand? So this is very peculiar that we would have a lunar eclipse that happens November 19th, okay? And then exactly 14 days later, we have a solar eclipse on December 4th, exactly 14 days later. Now, from December 4th to April 2nd was Nisan 1st. So therefore, the 14 days later will be Passover. So Passover is 120 days from the lunar eclipse. You understand?
Yeah.
So I'm just saying this. It's very peculiar that God did this lunar eclipse and this solar eclipse 14 days apart, and the solar eclipse lands on Nisan 1st, and that therefore the lunar eclipse would land on Passover. Okay? So, I don't know. I'm just saying, that's just, some things, like I said, everything It's like so strange right now, because everything's like talking to you, saying, look at what I'm doing, look at what I'm doing, and so that you'll know and understand. Now, so 120 days from the lunar eclipse, it'll be 120 days till Passover, okay? So know that, do it at whatever you want. I'm looking for a rapture. Okay, now, Pastor Ben, give me your tie. Let me see. Sorry, he is all comfortable in his director's chair. Okay, some of you guys saw Yorkis, video that he did for me, and people were like, hallelujah, you're right, thank you for doing this video. Look at Pastor Ben, he chose this tie, and this is an awesome tie. You know how your brother, your mom say, I bought y'all some shoes, pick which one you want, and your brother run in there and get the best pair? Yeah, I did. No, but this one has Hebrew on it and everything. Wow, and fish. And then you got a little, okay, York has sent us these ties. Amen. The same guy who did that awesome video for me, and I just want to thank Yorkis for that.
Amen. Thank you.
And I want to thank Yeni and her husband for sending me a card and says, Happy New Year, finally, the real New Year. Thank you, Yeni, for knowing it's Nisan first, it's the New Year, okay? And the 14th of Nisan will be Passover. I expect to be crowning a king, not here on that day. So, and I am hoping and praying for that. Praise God. Okay. The next thing is we need to talk about God. This, let me give you my prayer today. So what do I need to talk about? What do you want me to speak on tonight, Lord? He says, you're finished. I said, I'm finished. He says, I've given you everything. I've given them everything. You're finished. And I'm like, okay, so what do you want me to speak on? He says, go over the things that I've already shown them and then kind of explain a little more so people will understand, because obviously some people aren't understanding what time and years and seasons they're living in, because they're like, oh, well, it's over. I guess we got to wait till next year. And it's not like that. It's okay. Now we've got to look at, why is this 120 years from the solar eclipse landing on Passover? And why are they exactly 14 days apart when Nisan 1 and Passover 14 days apart? Is just a strange thing. And then the Lord said, now listen to this. You see this number here? What's this? 5782. That is the number for this year on the Jewish calendar. When did 5782 start? Anybody, I will give you a prize. When did 5782 start?
Didn't it just start?
No. Nisan doesn't start, huh? No, it starts at Tishri. When it's Yom Kippur, they go Shana Tov, right? Because it's Happy New Year in September or Tishri, okay? Mm-hmm. So it's been 5782 since September of last year. And it'll be 5782 till September of this year.
Yeah.
Do you understand that?
You gotta
understand it, because it's great. It doesn't really matter, because it ain't nothing. I don't think anything's lasting till September. We got too much stuff in front of us. The first thing you're looking at is that you got Passover in front of you. Okay? Now, from September to September is 5782. So when we did this whole chart on the book, on the Torah, the first five books, and the first five books gave us the full meaning of these first five books is this. It's about Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the church.
Yeah.
All the numbers are 888, 71, and 153. Okay? And understand and know this. These four books, the chapters, are 153. So God is telling you this is about the church. These four books are 4895. You minus that from 5782 and you have 888, which is Jesus. Okay? You take Deuteronomy 959 and you minus 888, you got 71, the Holy Spirit. You add Deuteronomy to the other four, you minus 5782, that's the only year you can do it, and you also get 71. Okay? So God has structured the whole Torah to tell us that this is going to be about the year 5782, the Holy Spirit, and the church. Okay? That doesn't change, that year doesn't change till September. Now, I expect by September the tribulation to begin. So therefore, if the tribulation has begun, that means the church is already gone.
Right.
My expectations for a rapture is still, like someone sent me today, they said, he called Lazarus from the tomb 6 days before Passover. I'm expecting 6 days before Passover. Or I'm expecting sometime before Passover, okay? So I'm doing it according to the way the scriptures are written, but the strange thing is this. 5782 is telling you that this is all about Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and the church. And it doesn't work with any other year. You put another number in there and it all falls apart. Now, what is the one scripture that had to be found and God needed Spinebreaker, or that's his nickname, Kevin. His nickname Spinebreaker. And Kevin and myself to do this, because he was doing the numbers, but he didn't understand what 71 was all about. And so he was sending me, and so it took both of us to really do this. But he was like, one scripture is missing from the calculation because they added it to a next chapter. But in the original Torah, it's not added to the next chapter. It's a separate scripture. So we need to go back and separate that like the Hebrew scripture. When we separated it, that's what gave us the church, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus. Now, what does that one scripture say? After the plague, after the pandemic, after the pandemic. So for God to have, like, I'm holding this back and I'm not going to give it to the very end, one scripture, because we're all reading English Bibles, so we don't think one scripture is missing.
Right.
We don't know that that's supposed to be separated, but the Torah shows you it's supposed to be separated. Okay, so now that we know that, we understand that the first five books is saying something special happens in 5782. And I'm still expecting to be crowning the king,
yes,
in heaven on the 14th of Nisan, which just happens to be 120 days from the lunar eclipse. Okay? Which is exactly 14 days away, separated from the lunar eclipse and the solar eclipse. That's amazing to me. Because God did that. You know how much math it does to have a lunar eclipse and a solar eclipse? Everything has to line up. One is way bigger. It has to line up perfectly. So God does this and makes it 14 days apart and makes it on Nisan and the 14th of Nisan. So you do it, whatever you want. I'm expecting a rapture. Now, if you're with your notes, let's stay there. I'm still on page one. And it says kaveh, okay? We know what kaveh means. Wait with hope and great expectation, okay? I'm just so excited because there's just so much that God is trying to show us in these last days. Now, just to talk to you for a minute, I got up in the morning and it said, the Grammys were last night. And I'm like, as if I would ever watch the Grammys, right? Haven't watched the Grammys like forever. Me and Drea probably don't even remember who's the last artist. It's like, it's just something because it's it's a filthy show to me because it's just a bunch of Nephilims giving each other trophies. So I didn't watch it, but in one of the clips it says the president of Ukraine was able to address the Grammy crowd in the middle of the Grammys. So in the middle of the Grammys, they pull up a big screen picture of the president of Ukraine as he's saying, while you're doing there, remember that our arts and our music have stopped because of these atrocities and murders and these war crimes that is going on here in Ukraine. Okay? And now you got to remember, this guy's an actor first. He's not like, you know, he wasn't a politician.
Right.
He's a professional actor. So he's like, he's putting it on, right? And so I watched the portion where he's giving the speech, and people are like, yes, he's right. We're forgetting about what's really important in life. And I'm like, okay. Then, you know, the next story after that was that Biden is calling the president of Russia a war criminal.
Yeah, I heard that.
And now they're showing pictures where they got people tied up and bodies are being thrown in the street after they tied them up and shot them, and they're taking pictures of all these people with their hands behind their back laying on the ground, okay? Now, that would touch me, except for one thing. Because you guys, I'm telling you, they hired all these people to lay in body bags.
One dude got up.
And one dude, his body bag kept flipping over. I posted it. So all the other guys are laying still, and he's up here trying to zip his bag back up. And I'm like, remember, this propaganda is pushing for sympathy. So when America says we cannot, when NATO says we cannot stand by any longer, we must act, and the world war starts, it will be because the people are now agreeing that we must help these people, right? Okay, so I don't know if there are people tied up laying in the street shot. I just saw tied up, you could be whatever, but I know, you know, once you fool me once, shame on me.
Yeah.
Fool me twice, shame on what?
No, fool me once,
shame on you. Right. Fool me twice, shame on me. Thank you, Pastor Ben. Wow. Crazy. Okay. So I just want you to know they are propaganding the world, propaganda for the world, because there is a third war.
Yeah.
Now, okay, I want us to go to... Oh, no, we're just going to read the scriptures. I mean, the notes. It says, now, there were set six water pots, stones, according to the manner of the purification of the Jews, containing 20 or 30 gallons, okay? Now, 20 gallons we know would be 120, which stands for pillars or the church, 153, right? So there's this wedding going on, but now you're getting these numbers that are coming out of the water pot that is either 120 or it's 180, okay? We get to if you have six pots and they weigh 30 gallons, that's 180, which is the word nisan, which is still, the meaning of nisan is their flight, okay? It also is the number for nosia, which means to travel, except not by foot.
Yeah.
Also, it's the meaning of the word travail, which means to go through birth pains, okay? So there's a birth happening, there's birth pains, there's a trip going on. So does it sound like all the things that the Bible is telling us about that is going to happen? Israel is about to birth a child out of the world. There's about to be a wedding. Somebody's traveling, but not by foot. Nisan is the time of their deliverance. Nisan, okay, let's go to the next page. We're just going to go straight through these notes. Because this is what Satan wants us to do. He wants us to be like the OJ trial, right? It's like you got all this evidence that he did it, but then you bring in the gloves, and the gloves don't fit. And everybody goes, ah, We might as well go home. Forget about all the other evidence. The gloves didn't fit, right? You can't forget about the rest of the evidence. You understand? There's a whole lot of other stuff we still have that we need to look at. And because it didn't happen on Nisan 1st, on the 1st of Nisan, doesn't mean you throw all of this in the trash. 5782, you throw everything in the trash because it didn't happen. No, there's everything is still pointing to these days and to this day, and I'm not trying to figure out what, okay? Then you have on your page 2, it says the month of salvation. This is what they call Nisan. You know what they call it? Hadash HaYeshua, which means the new, it means the month of salvation. Okay? The month of the Yeshua. Okay? The month of salvation, both terms, physical deliverance from Egypt. Now remember, the Passover happened in Nisan, okay? That Moses delivered them in the Passover was in Nisan, okay? Now, the other thing we have to throw out is the fact that the Suleiman prophecy. It says Suleiman the Magnificent had Jerusalem rebuilt, included the walls, which had been since at least 135 AD. Also, the story goes that he gave a decree to rebuild the walls that was prompted by a divinely inspired dream he had. Whatever prompted the decree, we have the what Pastor Ben said, evidence of it, okay? Now, in 1538, then you have 483 years later would be 2021, or in the Jewish year of 5782. So remember, even though we're out of 2021, we're still in 5782 till September, okay? Now, this is also what I need you to know. This is what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 34. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will not, will by no means pass away. All these things happen, okay? What generation was he talking about? The fig tree generation. He's talking directly about the generation that sees the nation of Israel rebirth back onto the planet, okay? So, how do we know that? Watch this. Psalm, the 19th book of the Bible, the 48th chapter, 1948, the number, verse 13, it says, mark well her bulwarks, consider her palace. It says that you may go and tell it to the Lador HaAcharon, the last generation. So in this whole chapter, it's talking about the rebirth of the nation of Israel. Then in verse 13, it says, when you see this happen in the Hebrew, when you see this happen, make sure you tell it to the Lador HaAcharon, the terminal. And that's the true meaning of the word, the terminal generation. That means this is the last of the generations, okay? Now, we have several 70-year prophecies that came true in the Old Testament that God predicted in the generation this will happen. This will happen, and in this generation it'll be over. And it was always 70 years. They all happen exactly 70 years. We only have one time that God says in this generation, even this wall on this building over here, Jesus said, in my nativity, in my generation, that temple that's behind that wall is going to be torn down. And it happened in 70 AD. Okay? So now we get to this other time he says, and this generation shall not pass until all these things happen. Until what? Okay, this is what happens. Watch this. Okay. 80 years later, he's saying 80 years after you see the fig tree reformed back on the earth, then he says in Mark 24, verse 30 through 42, the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the cloud of heaven with power and great glory. So the end of the fig tree generation is Jesus coming in glory on a cloud. That's the end of the 80 years. Okay? Is that the end of the 70th week? No, the 70th week is based on something else. And I went over that with you because he also has to rebuild the temple. Then the Spirit of God has to come inside of the temple. Then the 70th week is over, okay? Yeah. So you don't know when the 70th week is over. I don't know when the 70th week is over. So what are we calculating the rapture according to Jesus?
Yeah.
This generation will not pass until all these things happen. Then you will see the Son of Man coming on a cloud. That means the fig tree generation is over at that time. Mm-hmm. Now you go back to Psalms 90, verse 10, and he says a generation is 70 years, but because of arrogance and pride, it's going to be 80 years. So this is the only time that he switches the 70-year generation to 80 years, and it's because of the attitude of the Jewish people.
Amen.
And read the whole chapter, you'll see it's all talking about the Jews. Okay? So there you have that, and now we have this 80 years. We know 1948. Wait a minute, 80 years is only 7 years away. We have to have a 7-year ceremony, a wedding thing going on, right? And so this whole thing is playing itself out right in front of us. And now we got a world war sitting right in front of us.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, oh, and this is what it says here, too. It says, if those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. So you don't know how soon he's coming back or if he's coming back exactly. So you can't be calculating. All you can do is look at what's in front of us. Okay?
Amen.
Now, I like this that someone did, because what we're talking about is this. And I think it's remarkable because God will show us things just to help us out. So July 28th, 1914, World War I started. World War I also, that date was also the 9th of Av. So if the 9th of Av is the day, listen to me, you guys, it is the day that everything happens in Israel. Okay? Both temples are destroyed on the 9th of Av, okay? The spies come back and give a bad report on the 9th of Av. Both temples are destroyed on the 9th of Av. Hitler gets inaugurated as Chancellor on the 9th of Av. So now World War I starts on the 9th of Av. I'm not even talking about Kristallnacht and all that stuff. Everything happens on the 9th of Av. That happens bad in the Jewish community. It happens on the 9th of Av because God cursed it because of the bad report.
Yeah.
So the 9th of Av is the Gaza. They lost Gaza on the 9th of Av. And it happened exactly the way the Bible said. It was in the middle of the day, and they came in and took the Jews home and gave them to the Palestinian and gave them back Gaza and gave them Gaza, and it happened on the 9th of Av. So everything happens. So World War I started on the 9th of Av. Do you think God knew that World War I was going to start on the 9th of Av? Yes. The numerical value of that is 68. So do you think that God knew that it would be 68? Because the Second World War, when you have September 1st, 1939, you have the same numerical value, 68. So you got, okay, both of them have the same numerical value of 68. That's kind of strange. But then you have the invasion in Ukraine, 24-2, the second month, 24th day of 2022, same 68, okay? Now, I like what someone did because they said, really, Pastor Sandy, what I think is God is having a Passover. He's dividing the sixes from the eights. And so you got 68, 68, 68, but something is going to happen because you're dividing judgment from life. You understand? So there's a reason why God made it 68, 68, and 68. Not the fact that those 68 is the numerical value of 204, which is the numerical value of harpazo in the Greek. One of them. And harpazo has two numerical values in Greek, and they're spelled different. I don't know for what purpose, but they're spelled different. And one is 989, which is the eight in the middle, and nines on the side, which is judgment, judgment, and life in the middle. And here you dividing 666 from 888, 686868, okay?
Equals 222.
No. Thank you, Pastor Dan. And that's the voice of God. So I'm just trying to say everything's in front of us. And I don't want people to say, oh, the gloves didn't fit, let's just go home. Wait a minute. Where was he at during the hours of the murder? He can't even account for it. Someone's heard him sneaking in. The guy whose roommate heard OJ sneaking in. They didn't even bring that back up. The gloves didn't fit, let's go home.
Right.
It didn't happen on Nissan first, let's just go home. No, you got a whole lot of evidence here that we still need to look at, okay?
Amen.
So, wow, thanks, Pastor Ben. I did not even see that, but it is that. The voice of God speaking once again.
Amen.
Okay. Let me see if I need to. Okay, interesting. Okay, let's go to page 4. Okay. This is what we just talked about on the board, okay? So that's on the board, and the wonderful thing about that is that the whole numerical value of this doesn't work out unless you use this year 5782, okay? Without 5782, you don't get 888, you don't get 71, you don't get, 153. All of this stuff is contingent on you use the year that God says this thing is happening. Let's go over to the next page if we have one. And here's that page, because I wanted people to see this, okay? Now, you see that where it says 19? And it says right there, after the plague, and it was Vehaya Achere Hamigifa, which is the plague or the pandemic. Okay. So God is saying this whole thing happens when? After the plague. Okay? And did he know it was going to be 5782 that the plague would be over? I think so. I'm not sure, but I surely think so. So I'm saying that all this stuff is in Scripture and is talking to us. And God is talking to us. The whole pandemic, when it broke out in the 120th year, God was talking to the whole world, okay? Rather, we were paying attention, some of us, and God told me something. He said, some people are asleep and some people are in a coma, okay? So you can't wake a person up out of a coma. If they don't want to hear about God, you're not going to wake them up out of a coma. He said, these are people that Rihanna is their favorite singer. Beyonce is their second favorite singer. They're glad Kanye West got saved. Joel Osteen is their favorite pastor. You know, these are people that are so connected to the world, they're in a coma, okay? And you can't pull them out of a coma. We're looking to wake people up that used to go to church and know something is wrong and want Christ, okay?
Yeah.
Yes. Did I put it in there? I hope I did. Okay, yeah, go back to the front page, first of all. Go back to the front page. Now, The rapture is about the Passover, okay? What is the rapture about? Dividing the waters.
Yes.
What is Moses and the Passover about? Dividing the waters, okay? So when we get to the root of this whole thing, this is all about a day that things get divided, okay? That the waters get divided. The rapture is a Passover, okay? It is obvious because Psalms 117 divides the word of God, okay? So you got a division of the Bible in Psalms 117. And that Psalms 117 is not speaking to Israel. It distinctly tells the Gentiles to rejoice.
Yes.
Okay? So here you're dividing the water and you're telling the Gentiles to rejoice. Now you get a numerical value that leads you to Psalms 119, which is 22 Hebrew letters. The division of the 22 letters is Kaf and Lamed. And it has the same numerical value as Psalms 117. So you go, wait a minute, that's dividing. And this is the division of the Hebrew letters. It starts with the Kaf, which is a Sofit letter, so it has to come down first. The Sofit letter goes below the line. And the next letter is Lamed, it goes up. Lamada means to go up. That's where it divides, and it has the same number as Psalms 117, which is leading you from Genesis 1, which says, I divided the waters.
Yeah.
And he says, and I told the waters in the Hebrew to wait with patience and expectation. He told the waters to convey until I bring you into one place. Why would he use the word convey to the waters in the beginning while he's judging? I mean, while he's creating. Because he's prophesying at the same time. So here comes the division of the waters. Okay? Now, you need to know and understand that the world went along for all of those years, the 600 years of Noah's life and everything before him, nobody had ever heard of a raincoat, an umbrella. It had not been, nobody, for a rain to come out of the sky was as foreign as a rapture.
See?
It was something that no one had ever seen, and they were like, well, you're just nuts. You know what I mean? So where's the water? We're in the middle of the desert, Noah.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the water going? This is going to come out of the sky. Okay. That's it. I'm not going to your church anymore. So remember, when God divided the waters had never came back on the earth until what day? Judgment Day. All God is saying is, I'm going to divide the waters. What are the waters? People, nations, languages. I'm going to divide the waters, and I'm going to bring half of them above the clouds to dance and party and get married and have a crowning ceremony. And I'm going to leave half of the people, nations, and languages below the firmament of the sky, and they won't see you appear again until Judgment Day.
Yes.
And so we can't forget everything and say, oh, it didn't happen on Nisan first, so that means we might as well relax. Honey, you can move back in. We don't have to be married. I told you it wasn't going to be a rapture. And I'm trying to explain to people, you can't just throw away everything that God has shown us to say, okay, nothing's going to happen. Because something is going to happen.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got 5782 is the only number that works with. That is strange. 120 days from the lunar eclipse to Passover. 120 days from the solar eclipse to Nisan 1. 14 days apart, which separates Nisan 1st from the day that Christ was crucified, 14 days. This means nothing. Just go back to doing what you're doing. No, I will not. I'm not taking all of this evidence and pretend that it doesn't exist.
Amen.
I think we need to be ready, and people need to know and understand what this is all about. Now, I'm just going to speak frank with you as a pastor, because this is really what I wanted to preach from the very beginning, because I knew church, okay? I grew up in church. Some of the filthiest people I've ever met were choir members and deacons and
pastors.
You know what I mean? Pastors, big time pastors. I'd never, until I met Jewel Jones, I'd never met a pastor that wasn't crooked. And that was till I met Jewel Jones before we was about to start this. And that's why I stayed over there. I couldn't believe what a good pastor he was. Okay? But you need to understand, I understand church. I understand the difference between having a relationship with Jesus Christ and being a church member. I know the difference, okay? Because I know that there were a lot of people at the churches that I went to had no relationship with Jesus. Their relationship was with the church. Their job as an usher or a choir member was at the church. But when it came to the time to go to a club or to party, they were at the club. And if it came time to meet somebody and they weren't married to them, they didn't say, hey, let's get married. They say, let's try it out for a while. And then, you know, if it works, we'll get married. You know, so they go into fornication and then, you know, but they're still going to church. And then the pastor knows, but he's cheating on his wife. So it's like, what do you do, right?
Amen.
So I know that church don't make Christians. Your commitment to God to be faithful to his word and to your relationship with him makes you a Christian.
Yes.
A human being has to decide to give God the only thing that they can possibly give him. Your will. Your free will is yours. God can't come and take it. An angel can't come and take it. No one can take your free will from you. You can leave out of here and go do whatever you want. The only thing that's stopping you is your respect for God and your respect for your wife, your respect for your children, your respect for society. These are the things that stop us, because we don't have a will to violate those. You have to have a will not to violate God's love and his friendship.
Amen.
You have to have that will. And Satan is always testing your will. And God is always allowing him to test you, because he wants to know, do you really love me or not? Okay? Do you really love me or not? And I think, you know, every relationship really goes there. But the only difference between God and a regular relationship is God can see you all the time. So all your decisions are being made right in front of your spouse. You understand? And still people can't behave themselves. You know why? They don't think he's there. You remember that hotel, Pastor Ben? The guy said, he was on the news.
Yeah,
guy was on the news. He said, we had a pastor's convention this week, and he says, they bought so many porn movies on the, because you know you have to use your card to buy the porn. He says, every room was buying porn all night. And this is supposed to be a Christian convention. And he says, I'm very sad because there was, and he's talking to the reporter. The reporter's like this.
They sold so much porn.
Yeah, he said, we never sold this much porn in a weekend, even if there was a rock band in town. They never sold that much porn. And he's like, what is that?
It's a porn convention.
Yeah, it was like, you can have a porn convention, you don't sell this much porn. And this guy, but this is the church, this guy looked so sad. He looked like, I'm so disappointed. He's like, and a lot of these pastors I know from television. And he's like, it's just a sad day for me. And I'm like, you just told on everybody. But I understood that. I looked at him and I went, he's disappointed. And God is disappointed too, because now his image of Christianity is what he just saw.
Yeah.
And that's not Christianity, okay? It's a discipline. You get up and you read your word. You pray. You read your word some more. Your whole day is with God on your mind. You're about to buy something and you go, Lord, should I buy this? And the Lord goes, nah, we don't need that. Besides, I got somebody else going to buy that for you. Don't worry about that. You know, God is doing, because sometimes he's doing. So when you ask God opinion, he'll tell you, like, so you're in this constant relationship with God. Then something comes your way and someone says, hey, I got a way for us to cheat on our taxes. And there's no way they will find out. You want to do it? And then now, as a dumb Christian, you don't think God is sitting there going, yeah, what you gonna do? You go, no one's here. Yeah, let's do it. No, he's there. No one's here. Come on over. Let's watch a movie. He's not here. My pastor won't know about it. It doesn't matter your pastor or your church members. God knows everything that you do. Your spouse is watching you all the time. Your texts, your thoughts, what you're planning, he's watching everything because he wants to know, are you going to submit your will to me? Are you going to submit your will to me? Because if you're not going to submit your will, then you're not willing to be sanctified. And without sanctification, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Without holiness, you cannot see God. You understand? You've got to decide not just to accept him in an emotional moment. You've got to decide, I'm going to live for him.
Yes.
This is why not many are saved. Because they make church more popular than relationship.
Yes.
Okay? And this is, I was telling Greg, and I think I was telling Minister Ryan this morning. I was saying, you know, it's really just a bad thing because people don't understand that knowing about the rapture does not make you saved. Mm-hmm. I don't care if you got every number and every fraction and everything figured out and you know all the prophecies and you watch all the YouTubes and you know who the Antichrist is and everything. It does not make you saved. Okay? Because you can know all of this and walk in the kitchen and curse your wife out. And then not even think about it and just walk outside. You're not in a relationship because the Holy Spirit would have convicted you and then you would have turned from that, okay? You wouldn't go in your basement and turn on porn if you're in a relationship with God. You're not going to do that, right? If you understand that you're in a relationship with God and you're fighting sin, you're in a relationship because you're fighting against sin. You're trying to sanctify yourself. You're trying to grow some fruit on your tree.
Yes.
There's a guy did a song, said, I met a whole bunch of Christians, couldn't find no fruit, not even a raisin. And I was like, that's a cold song. But it was true. If you meet somebody and you can't find any fruit, it's obvious that there's no relationship with God going on there, okay? So I don't care about people, oh, you're wrong on this number. Who cares? How are you living? Are you living for Christ?
Right.
Okay?
Right.
Are you the way you treat people? Is it Christ-like? Love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord thy God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. This is the way God says, this is how I want you to love me. Hear, O Israel, the Lord thy God is one. And you shall love me, he says, and you shall love me with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and all your mind. And love your neighbor as yourself. Now, some people say, well, that's in the Old Testament. No, he just read this in the New Testament. He said, what's the greatest commandment? He says this first. Love the Lord thy God
yes.
with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And the second is love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
But if you don't love God with all your heart, with all your soul and your mind, you're in a relationship trying to do it casual with somebody who's looking for marriage, and it ain't going to work.
Amen.
So I'm all for the rapture. I love the rapture. I can't wait. I 100% believe that this is something that God has given us for our future and something that we should be joyful about. We're coming into. But if you're not in relationship, don't get excited about this day, because God says to them, why are you excited about the day of the Lord? He asked the Jews, what are you excited about the day of the Lord? And this is going to be a great day for you.
Right.
Be excited because you're in relationship. Okay, don't get excited about something if you're not in relationship. Praise God.
Amen.
All right.
Amen.
Oh, I was thirsty tonight.
Good message, Pastor Sam.